Before I start the show, I just want to let you know that this Sunday, December 6th, Stand Up Style Comedy Showcase, which is my show that I produce in Seattle, is going down at Naked City Brewery. Show starts at 7 p.m. You can get your tickets. Go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com, or go to StandUpStyle.BrownPaperTickets.com. You can get tickets there. Use code BLACK, like Friday or Cyber Monday. Use code BLACK. You get $5 tickets, and today is the last day to get those tickets, which is Tuesday. Other than that, I will see you at the show. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Enjoy. Welcome, come one, come all. This is the Last Show podcast hosted by me, Courtney Shane Williams. On the last show, I have no clue what I talked about. But on this show, I talk about the Seattle Comedy Competition for like 85% of the show. So if you don't like comedy and you don't like my ego, just skip this show and next week we'll pick back up where we left off last week. Also talk about why Dabbing and Nae Nae is dead. And we just continue to talk. Listen to me. This is the Last Show podcast. It's called the Last Show because this may be it. Welcome to the Last Show podcast. I'm your host, your MC, the maestro of the show, Courtney Shane Williams. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for your time. I appreciate you listening. It's Tribe Called Quest in the background. Check the rhyme, yo. Song is dope. You know why it came to me? It's because Check the Rhyme is all about, I got this. You know, Check the Rhyme. You know, it's like when Jay-Z says, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. You know, all them rings and things you sing about, bring them out. It's like, dude, just check the rhyme, yo. Yeah, there's no need for conversation. Just check the rhyme. What did I say? What did I do? What does production look like? Check the rhyme. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. I'm eventually going to get that right. That's what they think. So, that's a perfect backdrop for what I want to talk about in the podcast. Look, the Seattle Comedy Competition, it ended. I was in the competition, and I'll talk about that later in the show, even though I really don't even want to talk about it, to be honest with you. Like, I find it to be interesting, but, you know, really, is it really worth having, you know, a dissertation about? I'm not sure. But I'm going to talk about it in the show. However, I'm opening the show with this. The dab dance is over. I don't know who's out here still dabbing in the club, but it's over. You know what? In the dab dance, that was the shortest shelf life for a dance ever. Since, like, I don't even know, man. It would have to be, like, not the Cabbage Patch. Like, the Cabbage Patch, I feel like people probably still doing the Cabbage Patch in the club if they ain't been there in a long time. Like, somebody might just, like, break out the Cabbage Patch. Or, like, the Running Man. But the Running Man was on for a while, you know what I mean? Like, you could do the Running Man, like, it was in movies. The dab dance is never going to make it in movies because it died so quick. Dead. Gone. The dab dance. And it's all Cam Newton's fault. That's right. I'm blaming Cam Newton for this. Because once Cam Newton scored that touchdown on, who was that team? I forget who that team was. But when Cam Newton scored that touchdown and started styling in their face, everybody got all upset and mad. And, oh, you shouldn't be. Don't dance. If you score a touchdown, don't dance. Act like you've been there before. I do act like I've been there before. That's why I start dancing your face, because that's what I do. Then he gave him a little more in their face. Now, all of a sudden, it's cool to dab up in somebody's face. I mean, honestly, old college 70-year-old coaches doing the dab dance to celebrate victories. And I mean, and it's just to make us laugh because they know they can't dance. It's just to make us laugh. But now the dab is dead. You know, once people, you know, 70 and up are doing the dance on camera, and that's not a good sign for your dance. Not a good sign whatsoever. So the dab is dance. Whoa, that sounds a little bit better. I don't know what's going on with this microphone. I think I've discussed before that I may need to get a new microphone. And like half the time when I'm recording a podcast, like I'm not even looking at the microphone. Like it's at the side of my mouth and I'm searching the internet. Like right now I'm looking for fossil watches. But the dab is dead. The other thing, the whip, the nay-nay, that's dead too. Oh, go ahead. Just not even, we don't even need to do separate side-by-sides. Put them in the same general area. Whip and nay-nay, though, it had a long run. It had a good run. Like, the whip and nay-nay actually did get in the video. Like, the whip and nay-nay, it got on TV, it got on camera. You know, next thing you know, old college coaches, 70 and up, started doing the whip, nay-nay, Dabo Sweeney. Dabo from Clemson. Dabo Sweeney, though, he was on the whipping nay-nay before anybody was on that whipping nay-nay. I give Dabo credit. And Dabo's not 70. Dabo, he looked like he's my age. You know, and it's always funny referring to him because his name is Dabo. Dabo, dude, that's his real name. Actually, I don't think that's his real name. Maybe it is. It's not his real name. I think it's like his nickname. I think because he grew up in the South, and I think like his mother, I heard a story like his mother used to call him Dat Boy, but because they grew up in the South, they got a lazy mouth, and it came out like Dabo. So then everybody just started calling him Dabo, which is a dope nickname, Dabo. Dat Boy. Remember when I was a kid, my grandmother used to call me Main Man, but he used to come out May Main. May Main wouldn't have been a bad idea. Kind of like that name. You know what? From now on, refer to me as Maymain. That's what I want to be referred to. So, yeah, whipping nay-nay, dead. Dabbing, dead. All right. Let's talk about this darn competition. All right. So, part of the reason I'm talking about this doggone competition is because I don't want to answer any phone calls. Because everybody's asking the same questions. Oh, hey, what happened? Oh, hey, what happened? Let's make this clear. Number one, I didn't win. That's just the way it is. Not really that upset about it. Just, you know, whatever. Didn't win. Competition is are weird. I will say this. I've never won. Actually, take that back. I've won one competition in the history of every competition I've ever done. And I haven't done a ton, you know, maybe in there, let's say, 20 to 30. Dang, that's a lot. No. I've probably done somewhere around 10 to 15, you know, versions of some weird competition. And I've only won one. And the one I won was like 2 years into me doing comedy. So I wasn't even that good. So in all actuality, the competition probably, it's just not necessarily my game, you know? And obviously you can rationalize and say, well, you know, I don't get to show my full skills in a competition. You know, and you tell yourself all this stuff, you know, I don't get to show my range in a competition. The thing about competitions that you got to know. Now I'm talking to comedians. I don't know if comedians are listening to this, but I'm just talking to everybody. I'm talking to everybody that would call my phone, and I'm trying to give you an explanation as easily as I can give you an explanation. Like, I'm not giving out any secrets. If you're a comic listening and you want secrets and you don't know my phone number, then you're just not going to get them. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, not to say I got all the answers, but in this competition and in competitions in general, I know how to do well, at least to the point to get you to, like, you know, the round of 10 or get you to like the upper level. Like, I know how to do that well. Winning is a whole different thing. No one can really tell you how to win. But getting up finals, semifinals, I can help you out with that. But I'm not giving out those kind of tips on the podcast, because the game is to be sold and not told, and this podcast is free. You ain't paid me nothing. So if you ain't got my phone number, I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry, because I don't even want to talk about it. But thing about it is, everybody can rationalize and say comedy is subjective and, you know, my art is my art and how can you judge art? Let's make something clear. Like, I know when someone stinks. People that stink usually don't do well in competitions because you stink. And I know when someone's good. People that are good usually get to like the semifinals or the first round of cuts, however they do it. Like if you're in Boston and you get to the next round, people that are good. After that, there's so many other things that come into play. And a lot of them have nothing to do with comedy. Nothing. Some of them have to do with positioning on the show, what number you go up. In the finals of Seattle, they did a check drop during the competition. I mean, who wants to do the check drop spot? I mean, that's automatic tank mode. You know, they do intermissions. Sometimes people are drunker when they come back. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes you do shows at these competition venues, and they don't normally even do comedy. It's like a special event. So people go in not knowing what to necessarily expect. You know, it's like when you go see like a Pulp Fiction the first time, like you're confused until you get like, you know, halfway through the movie. And you're like, oh, he's doing the back to the OK, I see what's going on. And then the rest of the movie is pretty cool. And then you got to go back and watch the whole movie again. The problem is you can't watch the first comics again. That's over. That's dead. So a lot of it has nothing to do necessarily with the comedy. However, you sign up for a contest, you sign up to be judged, which is the part of the competition that is the worst, the judging part, because there's really no qualifications for anyone to judge, just random people and their random opinion. And that's when it gets weird, because how do you assess this person better than that person if you really don't watch comedy or go to comedy? At the same time, is there a better solution? You know, Seattle competition, for you guys that don't know, runs for like a month. You do like 20 something shows. I mean, if you end up going to the finals, I think. Now you end up doing like 16 shows or something like that if you end up going to the finals. So out of 16 shows, you never get judged more than once by the same judge, which means there's not 16, and there's like three judges on each show. So that's 6, 12, 18, carry the 1, 3, that's 40. Is that 48 judges? There's not 48 aficionados of comedy in the Seattle comedy market, which means there's some bums up in there, and that's a minimum. Some shows you get judged by 5 judges, you know? So there's not that many aficionados, which means there's some bums up in there. So how do you know? How do you really assess it? How do you really, you know, do whatever, you know, to see who wins and who doesn't win? If you don't like ego or my ego, you might want to turn off the podcast now. I'll give you a couple seconds. All right. So this is the deal. When it comes to me in particular, my material or my subject matter, the way I do things, I don't necessarily do great in competitions anyways. So going in, I thought I really had a good shot maybe of doing really well. But at the end of the day, I still think I'm the greatest. That's right, I said it. I still think I'm the greatest. Like the level that, you know, sometimes you do competitions and it can sink you to a level of, oh, I got to work on this. Oh, I got to work. And everybody got to work. There's tons of things I got to work on. Like one of the things I know I want to work on is I want to work on just really chunking out my act a little bit better. It's not chunked properly. I want to work on really like tying things in and making it tight like a fist. You know what I mean? That's what I really want to work on. I want to work on being a comedy fist, you know, which sounds weird, but that's what I want to work on. I want to work on just maybe some, not universal premises, but things that just are undeniable. That's what I want to become. You know, after coming out of this competition, not necessarily reassessing, you know, what I'm going to do with my career, but, you know, you gotta transform as your career goes. Unless you're going to be one of those comics that's still doing jokes from the 80s and no one cares about you. You got to continue to grow and expand and do things differently. You know, the first Rolling Stones album doesn't sound like the last Rolling Stones album. You know what I mean? Rubber Soul doesn't sound like Sgt. Pepper. You got to transform. You got to grow. You got to change, you know. So comedy-wise, I want to change composition. I got an album I'm recording, and all the stuff will be on that album. And then after that, I'm going to go into the lab and we're going to start cooking up some new stuff. So I still think I'm great. Whether I won or not was not going to change whether I thought I'm great or not. I still think I was the best comic there. Still think I'm the best. It's still though my decision to be in the competition to be judged. That's what you sign up for. So while I think it's the judging is weird or wrong, you know, who won. And the person that won was getting first, you know, all the time, every night. So every judge saw it. It'd be different if somebody get first and they get last and they get first and then they get last and then they do this and then that, you know. No, everybody, the person that got first every night, you know. So all the judges saw it. So there was something on the judging sheet that made them connect. Or maybe he connected with the judges better than I connected with the judges or whatever it may be. And, you know, my style of comedy is not necessarily one that maybe connects, you know, in a short period of time, which may be another rationalization, but it just didn't correspond to what's on the sheet, and it never has. It never has. Like I said, I've won one competition. I've done Seattle competition 4 times. I've done San Francisco 2 times. Never won. Only been to the finals once. So my material's never connected to what's on the sheet, you know? So if you value my opinion, that's what I would say. The material doesn't necessarily, or what I did doesn't connect to what's on the sheet, so it really doesn't necessarily matter. With that being said, going forward, I'm never doing the competition again. Like, I'm done. Part of me thinks, like, why should I? Like, why should I? Because you're not necessarily getting paid for the shows you're doing, you know, value-wise. So normally you would do, you know, whatever show, and maybe you make a couple $100 or whatever, you know. Which means if you ended up doing, you know, 16 shows at a couple $100, what is that? I mean, I should be making like $3,000, $3,200 minimum. Minimum. I didn't get $3,200. I didn't get that. So, and you have to carve out an entire month of your life. And then you got to deal with the other things. The thing I hate most about the competition is the first round, because there's 16 comics in the first round. By the way, if you don't want to hear about the competition, you might want to turn off the podcast. Because now I'm all primed up. Now I'm ready to really talk about it. But the thing I hate the most about the competition is the first round. Because in the first round, you got like 16 comics. And only 5 of the 16 are going to make it, which means 11 people are going to be highly disappointed. And out of those 11 people, some of those people are probably veteran comics that were like, you know, they feel like they failed or they feel like they didn't do well. And I just hate being around sad people. That's why I don't like going to funerals. You know, I don't like going to, you know, things that make me sad. I don't like horror movies. You know, I don't like seeing blood, guts. I don't like needles. I don't like seeing other people sad. I'd rather be sad than have somebody else be sad, because like I know how to deal, I feel like, better with sadness. I don't project it on everybody else, you know. And a lot of times in the first round, you know, people are upset, people are sad, you know, and then they want to talk about it. Like, you know, I don't really want to talk about it because now they're just gonna make me feel worse. So the first round for me is all isolation. I just try to isolate myself from everybody. Hopefully, I know nobody in the first round. And I just try to, so when it's over, I can slide out of there and we just never see each other again. So that's one reason I'm not doing a competition anymore. The second reason is because judging wise, and when it comes to my material, I don't think it gets the credit that it should get with the judges. So why keep doing something if you don't feel like it's not to say it's unethical, but if it's not right. I mean, I think as far as this, I think the system should be changed in some way, form, or fashion. I don't think it should be like an audience vote or anything like that. But when you do shows, and this happened to me at least 3 or 4 shows, at least 3 shows in the finals, where you go out and you do the show and the set is clearly better. Than other people, and then they say, oh, 4th place, And the set's clearly better. And the material's clearly better. And the thing, it's not like, you know, I'm a pretty good assessor of what I do. I'm not doing street jokes. But no one was doing street jokes. No one was doing street jokes. No one. You know what I mean? No one was doing any wacky hijinks. No one was, like, pulling out a ukulele and, like, no one was doing that. No one was doing prop comedy. And no, you know, offense to prop comics, but no one was doing anything hokey like that. Everybody was doing material. But certain material is better than other material. And certain material has better depth than other material has. Certain themes are stronger than other themes. So, if I go up and I know the material is better and the audience response is clearly better, and you say fourth place, like, what am I here for? You're wasting my time. You're wasting my time, period, point blank. That's it. That's another reason why I would never do the competition again. And the last reason, probably, it's just too much. It's just too much. I mean, it's a month long. It's just, like, enough. It's too many shows. It's not too many, but it's just, like, you know, enough. Enough. And that reminds me, another criticism of the competition is usually in Seattle, the first round is, you know, it's a kind of a crapshoot. But if you have, like, two strong jokes, you'll get through. Then the second round becomes more of a competition of placing in the show, who you're following, how you follow them, and things like that. The last round usually turns into, like, a headliner competition. However, this year, for the first time, they or not for the first time, but I know this year, they cut the time. So it used to be you could do up to 20 minutes, and then this year they cut it down. So it was 15-minute sets, you know, which disappointed me. Like, why are we making it 15 minutes? Like, I thought this was a headliner competition. Like, what are we doing here? This is an open mic competition now? I mean, 15 minutes, I mean, who can't do 15 minutes? Who can't do 15 minutes? Like, what are we doing here? I thought it was supposed to be 20 minutes, and that's traditionally the way it went. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I thought. Obviously, the longer the show goes, the stronger comics are going to want a longer show. 20 minutes would have been great. That's another reason why I just wouldn't do it again. It's just, you know, what am I doing? So I spend, what, a month of my life to do 15 minutes in a half full, you know, venue to be judged by random people that don't necessarily watch comedy, and then make $75-$100 a show. Why? My time's more valuable than that. I'd rather sit at home and play video games for 2 weeks and then take the other 2 weeks and do normal gigs and make more money than that. So at some point in time, competition, it just wasn't enough. So for all those reasons, I knew this would be my last year doing it. I was hoping that I would win, because everybody wants to win. I did it to win, period, point blank. Make that clear. I did it to do well. I didn't do it to come in second or third or whatever. I didn't do it for the money. I didn't do it for any of that. But it didn't go out that way. It's not the way it went, man. So a lot of people after the contest too, they're like, oh, you know, I got to decompress and I got to reevaluate. I don't have to decompress anything. Look, I got a show on Thursday. You know, like I'm on to the next one, man. I got a show Thursday. I got a show Friday, and I got to go get this cheddar. You know what I mean? I got to get paid. I'm like Mookie and Do the Right Thing, man. I got to get paid. So, but it was cool, man. It was cool. I mean, I would like to say it was fun, but it really wasn't. I mean, just the weird stuff in it, especially when we got to the finals, it was just too weird. I'm sorry. I don't know. It just didn't sit right. It just wasn't right. I mean, I'm watching the shows, and I'm seeing the responses, and I'm seeing the scores, and it just, just didn't like it. Just didn't like it. Didn't like the way it made me felt. And that may be a factor of me too old for the competition, is not the word. But I do think, as far as Seattle goes, at least, you know, when you do it, you know, a couple years in or whatever, or you do it 5 years in, I think you get a lot more out of it. But once you get to a certain point where it's like, you know, I just want to win, I've done it 3 times, you know what I mean? The how much you get out of it is very limited. It's not that much. At that point, you're just giving away free shows to people that are really good. like the shows I give, like I want to be compensated. I mean, I want to be compensated for my shows. And in a competition, you're never compensated exactly for the shows. You know, I can look around the room and see, oh, this place is sold out. It's 1,000 people. Somebody's making a lot of money. You know, I'm feeling like the Fab Five in 98. You know what I mean? Like, somebody's making a lot of money and I'm not. So this is it. That's it. Didn't win the competition, but, you know, still grinding out, still, going to change some things in my act and, you know, going to continue to work and, get better. But that's it, man. That's the show. And that's the diatribe. That's definitive. So you don't have to call me. Well, actually, I guess if you have my number, you can call me, but there's no need for messages on, hey, how did things go? There's no need. You know, you don't need to check on me. Oh, I'm going to check on you. No, don't check on me, man. You know, don't check on me. And I don't, in the message, and I'll say this. This has been pretty cool. I'd say at least like for the last three shows. So that's for like, since like Wednesday, I guess. I have gotten a lot of messages of, oh man, I thought that judging was messed up. I thought you should have been higher. I thought, thank you for those messages. If you sent me one of those, thank you. But don't feel like, I guess, bad. I mean, if you're going to feel bad for somebody telling jokes, don't feel bad. It's what I signed up for. I signed up for that, you know? So I was well aware that that could happen. And after night three, I was well aware of that is what was happening. And I was prepared for that to keep happening. And that's what happened. So, don't feel bad about it, but thank you for all those messages and whatever. Another thing, man, don't be tagging me in photos, man. Honestly, that's why I got timeline review on Facebook, man. Don't be tagging me in weird photos. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I'm uncomfortable when people take pictures of me on stage in general. It's like, what are you doing with those pictures? You know, unless it's just me, but if it's me, like the competition gets weird because everybody takes pictures, but it's like, oh, this was, you know what I mean? Who's to say I want that information out there? You know, I thought it was no flash photography at the shows. But yeah, don't be tagging me in weird pictures, man. You know, enough. Well, I guess you could tag me and then it'll just show up in your timeline, which I think is great. And it won't show up in mine. Now I'm giving away the fact that you can go to my timeline and see if your picture's on there or not. And if it's not on there, that means I didn't like it. But anyways, thank you guys for listening to the podcast. This is the last time I'm talking about the competition. Period, point blank. Make sure you guys get out this weekend, this Sunday, my comedy show, Stand-Up Style Comedy Showcase. I think today may be the last day. You can go online and go to Brown Paper Tickets, standupstyle.com, or go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com, and use code BLACK. That's black, like the color of people. What? Use code BLACK, and you can get tickets for $5. Today's the last day. I did it for like a Cyber Monday type thing, and then I opened it back up for one more day. So you can get $5 tickets. It's the last show of the year. And the next show after this will be Valentine's Day, which I'm working on as we speak. But use code BLACK, and get yourself a discount. Come out to the show December 6th, 7 p.m. The headliner is Brett Hamill. I'll be on the show hosting. We'll also have Cameron Mazuka. It's going to be a dope night. So come out to the show. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. My name is Courtney Shane Williams. Take it easy. Peace.
Stop right there a minute. Man goes into a restaurant. You listening? And man goes into a restaurant. He sits down. He's having a bowl of soup. He says to the waiter, come, taste the soup. Waiter says, is there something wrong with the soup? He says, taste the soup. He says, is there something wrong with the soup? Is the soup too hot? He says, will you taste the soup? It's wrong. Is the soup too cold? Will you just taste the soup? All right, I'll taste the soup. Where's the spoon? Aha. Aha. What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Toodaloo.